Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist, and we come to you live, like very live, every Thursday from 7 until 8. And guess what? It's Thursday. It's 7 o'clock, at least here in New York. And do you know where you are in your business? We are here to talk about creative alchemy and your business, the business you want, the business you have, and the business you'd like to grow into. And we've discussed things like leadership and finance, your health, project management, organizational development. We've discussed many things over the time we've been here, and we always have these expert guests who share their knowledge and expertise with you. And tonight will be no different. And maybe tonight will be a little bit special, and you'll find out why. As always, you know I never travel alone. Before we introduce our guest, I have to introduce my co-pilot and my capsule here. Lori, let them know you're here.
Hi, everyone. Lori Miller, LGC Interior Design. We're having a rather interesting summer, some heat waves, some rain, but I won't bore you with the weather unless you're going on vacation. So tonight's guests are super fun. They are called the Two Travel Sisters, or Spoil Me Rotten Travel, and their names are Tina and Barbara, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves and tell you a little bit about who they are, what they do, and how they got there. So I don't know who wants to go first, Tina or Barbara, but please feel free to let the world know anything you want them to know about you.
Okay, I'm going to go first. This is Tina Dinesman, the younger of the Travel Sisters.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
as you can say, it's not a good point for me. She always reminds people I'm older.
Yes, I do. She's a dinosaur, what can I say?
I'm number one, though.
Yeah, you're number one. Anyway, we own a travel agency, and we really are sisters, not nuns. And we're in San Antonio, Texas, and we absolutely are extremely passionate about travel. And sister, you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm the older, more experienced, and more lovely sister, Barbara Sellers. And we both have very different grounds, but we kind of merged together. We'll talk about that in a little bit, I guess, how we got to be where we are. But we really do have a passion for travel, and that's what drove us down to this point in time of being travel advisors.
And we're really excited to be on this podcast. You know, we've listened and learned and used some of the things we've learned in our business, and we do feel that mental health is impacted by travel. So we definitely see a tie-in to what's been discussed previously on this wonderful podcast.
Or the lack of travel. Or the delay of travel.
So, yeah. Well, we're definitely going to tie this into business and what our listeners think about in general. So we'll cover two different domains of travel, but I have to ask you, how come y'all don't have Southern accents? You speak like you come from the Northeast.
Well, you know, we can, but we prefer not to do the fake accents. But we were born a little north of Dallas, Texas, in a little place called Brooklyn, New York.
New York.
And we moved to Long Island.
I knew it.
Yeah. So I think the more we hang with you guys, the more our accent will come out.
Yes. It always does.
Well, hey.
But we do have listeners from all around the world. So we can talk about that traveling, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. We do a lot of international travel ourselves and for our clients. And most of our clients, even though we're located in San Antonio, Texas, they are throughout the entire United States. So with a travel agency, you're able to work virtually and vicariously through other people who are traveling and having great experiences. And so it's a great place to work.
So you guys don't, you ladies don't have brick and mortar then? Like I've used travel agents quite often in the past, and I always walked into a storefront. So you don't have that.
No, we find that it's really not necessary to have a brick and mortar. I actually had a small CPA practice, and I did have an office, and then I decided to move it home, and I had 5 employees, just kind of stuff them in my bedrooms, occasionally let them out for food and water.
I think that's against labor laws. Unless you're in politics. If you're in politics, it's okay.
But what I learned from that experience was that the practice actually grew, because with the elimination of a brick and mortar store, you have a more personal interaction when you invite someone into your home. Now, we're very professional. I mean, we've got all the tech toys where, you know, we can go ahead and tie our laptops into displays on the TVs, et cetera. It's not that we're not professional, but we're personal. And because this is a service industry, that is something that people pick us because they trust us. And not having a brick and mortar kind of enables us to amp up that trust factor, because we trusted them into our homes.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So there's a level of intimacy it allows for with your clients.
Absolutely.
You know, we try and get, part of the business is really matching what they want and need out of their vacation to what is available, and the ability to really get to know them personally and their families and what their life and are and what their worst trip ever was allows us to package something for each of our clients. So when they call, it always seems like a personal call. We always say, oh, our BFF so-and-so is calling, and it better enables us to serve them.
Yeah, because travel is all about building the experience, and you've got to know your clients and determine what their expectations are, so that when they come home, the memory that lasts while they're peeling skin from the sunburn is gone. That memory hopefully lasts a lifetime, and you want it to be a good memory. So it is an intimate. You're becoming part of their life story.
Okay. Well, not everyone travels somewhere hot. I actually used a travel agent to go to Greenland several years ago. No suntan there.
Yeah, it's very interesting because Greenland is very icy, and Iceland isn't to be Greece, so we just feel like there should be some movies to change those names.
Actually, the layover was for 2 days in Iceland, so I did, and I saw lots of green in Iceland and no green in Greenland. So my understanding was a PR stunt it was a way to trick people to move to Greenland.
Very successful.
Interesting.
It worked. So
very
have you ladies always been in the travel agent industry? What sort of background did you have to do this?
I started in organizational training, and then I moved to a large financial services company and did training there, and then moved up into managing software compliance internationally for all of the software that was in use, as well as developing asset management processes. So it was a very busy job. Probably 7 days a week, very, very long hours. And I loved it for probably a good 25 and a half years. And then started thinking about, what do I want in my life? Is this what I want the rest of my life to be, or do I want to change?
And I have a very nerdy background. I was in project management for a long time. And then I moved and opened my own CPA practice. And it's interesting because everything you do in life brings forward and contributes to what you're doing. So the skill sets that you have, even we did network marketing for a while, and that enabled us to learn how to talk to people, do presentations, which is integral with what we do. The accounting and the project management. Barbara and I, we have a philosophy that we want to make sure that we think through travel from the beginning to the end. So when we meet with a client and we determine what the best match for their trip that they would like and we customize it to their expectations, we actually do a walk of that. And we do it from the minute they leave their home to the flight to when they get to where they're going. Is there a transfer? Is there a taxi? Is there a cab? What's the best way to get to the hotel? How long will it take? Can you use an Uber? Do you need cash to pay a cab, et cetera? And we just basically walk that trip from beginning to end so that we don't lose any, we mitigate the risk associated with travel because travel is risky enough. So that project management background and that attention to detail with the CPA, which I hated it with a passion, and Barbara's training and her management skills, I think all of that, even though it's not travel related, those skill sets are super important. And when we selected a franchise, which we bought a cruise planning franchise and branded it as Spoil Me Rotten Travel, and when we selected that franchise, we did it because Cruise Planners has great training. You actually go and you're at corporate headquarters for a week, and then they've got a support system where you're assigned a coach to help you. They've got amazing tech tools, et cetera. So, you know, because we are nimble in our careers, not in our walking, because we're not nimble at all when we walk, but because we have flexibility in our careers, we were able to just basically embrace the tools and the tech and the training and learn how to do travel and put our own spin on it.
And the other thing we really like is that Cruise Planners doesn't just sell cruises. They sell basically everything that you can get at any other brick and mortar travel agency. But there's something about a camaraderie between the agents within Cruise Planners. Mm-hmm. We're not competitive. We help each other. We're very active and very, very friendly and knowledgeable and not afraid to share that knowledge. So the learning curve is extremely helpful by the other franchise owners and associates they have.
That's very interesting. So and franchises already have proof of concept. They have a system in place and they train you in the system because it works.
That's correct. And then you go ahead and you make it your own.
Right. And the tools are extremely important in our industry because every supplier we use has their own individual unique system. And so we need to be able to work within those systems and talk both in and out of them to our cruise planner system. So Tina has an IT background with her project management, and I was in IT. And it is so important to have tools that can evolve and a department that is so eager to make things easy for franchise owners and other advisors that they're very quick to resolve any issues they may have or improvements that are recommended.
Interesting. And as you were describing walking through a client through, you know, end to end, like sort of cradle to grave of their vacation, you sounded like a project manager to me. I would assume that's a great skill.
But that's so true. We have major milestones with every step within the booking process.
Yeah, I think you're right, Ted. I want to say, let's talk about it, Ted, so it could be a TED talk.
and I'm Ted.
It is a project, and it has all the components that project management has. It has risk mitigation strategy. It has dependencies in the planning. It requires a communication plan. All those aspects of project management, they're all included as you approach building someone's next travel memory.
I can totally relate to what you're saying. I don't want to get us off topic. I'll quickly mention. So I recently wrote a book, and the book is Here's Why You Can't Find Love. It's about intimate relationships, and the commitment of the book is to mitigate the divorce rate because it's costing corporate America a lot of money. But what I did is I do corporate training. So I integrated corporate training into relationships. So just like your project management may not look like project management to your clients, except that's what you're walking them through. And so I walked people through corporate training about intimate relationships. So it's just, it's the same idea. You're integrating something, some tools from the outside into something that people can relate to, vacation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there is no silos in life where one thing is kept separate from another. It's a blend.
Right.
It's a blending of experiences, approaches, et cetera. So you're absolutely right.
Yep, really good. What, so why did you all pick a travel agency of all things in the world? Liberty, what is it? Liberty, tax, you know, there are so many things you could have done.
Well, we knew we'd eventually be on the Creative Alchemist, and we didn't think that, you know, would get us in. To talk to Ken and Laurie. Yeah, and we said, oh, let's just go.
But it really was a trigger because we were both working very hard, and we got information that our mom had lung cancer. And so it was pretty serious. We were in the hospital after her surgery, and she was on her laptop. I was on my laptop. We were taking calls, and we weren't very close at that point. The 3 years is probably bigger than it seems. Mm-hmm. And when we were younger, we were both very, very different people, but we never really knew who we became. So we were sitting side by side, and we almost looked up at the same time mm-hmm. and said, what the heck are we doing?
Mom is
well, we might have used a different word, you know, those words. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to offend anyone. But we did. We looked up and we said, here's mom recovering from her surgery. And we're here physically, but we're not there mentally. We knew we wanted to do something together. And we thought, well, let's prepare for the time where we can get better work-life balance, because we definitely were not in balance. Would you agree?
Yeah, and for an accountant, it's very important to be in balance.
Yes,
very
for
yes.
Problematic. Yes. You know.
So we, you know, we looked at each other and we said, let's go ahead. And again, you know, we were not close to each other. We both love our mom. She's the matriarch of the family and would do anything for her. And it was a really big aha moment. So we said, let's go ahead and let's just look and see. If we could find a business that we can do that we have a little bit more control.
In the next few years.
In the next few years. So Barbara went to her house. I went to mine. And within a couple of days.
I called Tina.
Yeah.
And I said, I found something.
And I said, hey, I found something too. This is great. What'd you find?
And I said, well, I really am passionate about travel. I love traveling.
And I said, no way. That's what I was looking at, too. You know I love to travel.
Wow.
I said, are you kidding? I said, well, what'd you find? And she said,
well, I found this franchise company that hit on Entrepreneur Magazine has been number one franchise. It's called Cruise Planner.
And I said, you've got to be kidding. That's the exact franchise I selected.
And that was
wow.
an opportunity for us, because I think that's when we started realizing we are more alike than not.
And it was just kismet. I mean, it really, really was. It was meant to be, without getting overly...
Are you teary?
I'm a little teary. I'm a little perplexed. I'm going to pick the topic. Blue on it. But, you know, for us, it was, all right, let's just see if we can make a go of this. You know, worst case scenario, we'll learn about the world. And so we went away, and we made a commitment to travel, and we have been very, very, very fortunate because it just immediately took off.
We were actually in training in Florida mm-hmm. when we got our first client call, And I was like, what is this number? Spoil me rotten travel. And she said, that's our business number.
Oh, it was really. So what happened was we were able to leverage, when I started the CPA business, and I used the word I because it really was just me, and I started with a prayer and a whistle or whatever that expression is. Maybe it's a Texas expression. But one of the things that that I learned to do was market, because you've got to market yourself and what worked, what didn't. So I had an ad left over, which really wasn't an ad. It was an informative article. And I asked them, hey, instead of me writing about the CPA business that I hate and I'm closing, how about if we write an article on And they said, sure, sure. So we used that, and that's where they got the number to call us that Barbara didn't recognize as our business number.
And it just kicked off from there. And so we were lucky that we were in training. It was probably a day or two days in or so.
It was 2 days in, and we were panicking. I mean, absolutely.
Acronyms galore, you know, tools. It was just a lot.
So overwhelmed. But what we learned is if you partner up with your vendors and you let them know that you're new and this is something new and you respect them and you appreciate the knowledge they can share with you, it really takes the edge off. So we literally would make a phone call to a vendor and say, hi, this is Tina Dimesman and
Barb Taylor.
We called together. So we say, I'm sorry, you know, we're very new. We're just starting. So please be patient. We appreciate it. And we appreciate any information that you can give us that we may not be aware of. And we still end every phone call to a vendor today. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us? Now, sometimes we learn about their dog.
Right.
We had, you know, what they had for lunch. But most of the time they'll stop and they'll think, well, what knowledge do I have that I could share? And it's very helpful.
Because it's a business where you have to continue growing. You can't stagnate.
Right.
And sit in one place and say, okay, I've learned everything I need to learn, because things are thrown at you like COVID and new tools and new vendors and new cruise lines, new resorts, new transportation options. And we have to be up and aware of what fits within our business model and what doesn't. And we chose Spoil Me Rotten Travel because that's really what we wanted to do to our clients. We wanted them to feel really spoiled, very special, and we didn't want them to have to worry about all the project planning steps that people would normally do when they were booking their own trips.
Okay, and you were talking about things that could disrupt a business or an industry, and I would think the internet has disrupted travel agents. I mean, people can book flights right online, more convenient than ever right now, as opposed to calling an airline and being on hold for 20 minutes before someone gets to you. So,
yeah, there's a time and place for everything. So we're not going to add value with a domestic trip, which is not. You can go to the internet, you can book your flight, you can book your hotel, and you can feel pretty confident that what you're booking is most probably going to be what you get when you arrive wherever you're at. And the internet is great, but it doesn't personalize a trip based upon what you want to do. There is a significant amount of research that goes into the destinations you're going to, the things that are available. You can have someone that goes to Italy, for example, and they're a religious person. They're going to want to see some of the very, very important things that happened in Italy and view it from a religious perspective. And then you've got a foodie that maybe wants to focus on the food and the wine. And then you've got someone that's a historian and they want to focus on, you know, the history of the area. They want to walk where the history happened. You may have an architect that's interested in the diversity of architecture that you find from the people that lived in that area through time. As different groups came and lived in an area, they brought different cultures, different architecture, etc. And so the information is out there on the internet, but it's not matched to what you want. You can't just put Dr. Google and say, I want to do this, go see this, and it's going to know what's going to make that a memorable experience for you. So we're not looking for quantity of trips to plan. We look for quality. You know, we look for those individuals that want a professional to plan their travel. And it's kind of like with the tax returns. Again, you can make me talk about accounting, but, you know, with tax returns, I can go ahead and get Quicken and whatever their software is for taxes, TurboTax, and I could do a tax return, but it's only as good as the data that I put in. And those are the clients I used to pick up when I was a CPA. You know, I had a guy that made hundreds of thousands of dollars on oil leases, and he didn't realize he could have taken a 20% deduction for royalties. That means he overpaid on his taxes. Same situation. Mm-hmm. You have internet access to do a tax return, but the quality isn't there, and it's not right for everyone. So for us, the internet is a tool, but that's it. It's not really a barrier for us. It's more of a tool. And if someone wants to plan their own vacation, then they can plan it. And what we discovered early on is if we're doing a customized itinerary, before we even put that itinerary together, we're going to get a fee from them for putting it together. Because if we don't charge them a fee for putting it together, they'll take that itinerary, which is the result of finding the exact hotel that works for them, the exact tours that work for them, the right flight, the right guides, the right hotel, and they're going to build it themselves. So we essentially built a barrier in by requiring them to pay a consulting fee so that they have some teeth in the game. Is that the right?
Yeah, kind of. They realize that there's a commitment behind their request. And they also value the amount of work and effort we put in, because we're very, conscious of just making sure that the information we're giving them is meeting not only what they're telling us they want, but intuitively what they're not telling us that they want or not want.
And that we're not going to put them, you know, with a hotel or an Airbnb or VRBO or whatever the current, you know, lettuce of the day are. We're not going to put them in something that has been put online by a person that has posted photos that don't look at all like the property when you get there. And then also you can go ahead and think you're paying for something and you get there and it's a totally different location. So, you know, we only use vetted vendors, and that vendor has a contract with Cruise Planners so that when we have a hotel that we book for you, that company that has the contract with Cruise Planners has visited the property, and they have certain several objectives in place so that if you go to that particular location or you send a guest, and there's an issue, there are ramifications of that contractually. So, and you don't get that from the internet. And you also don't get, Barbara's going to talk a little bit about what happens when you do book a hotel room on Rooms to Go,
hotel.com.
Or, and you get a couch or a trip.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't do furniture.
Yeah, she's going to talk about from an internet, Lori does furniture.
That's right.
From an internet perspective,
yeah.
How those booking.com and hotels.com, some of the things that can happen, just expand a little bit about
sure.
what you're saying.
So when you book a hotel online, the internet, as Kina said, has a myriad of information, too much information. Well, probably at least 50% of it, if not more, is not real, and it's not accurate, and some of it is even paid for review write-ups. So when I book a hotel on, let's say, hotels.com, I'm not going to know that the room category I selected is going to be in a, for example, area that's right over the HVAC roof system. So I'm expecting a view because maybe it says it's a room with a view, but it's a view of the HVAC system. Or perhaps it puts, they're putting me in a room that is going to be in an area where they're doing a lot of construction in the resort or the hotel, or a room that has not been remodeled, even though they're remodeling other rooms. They also can have the ability to walk their guests, which means when you book through those consolidators online, they have lower pricing. That's why people go. They're looking for the best price they can get. What they don't know is behind the scenes, that hotel has the right to walk them to another hotel, which means that they'll check in thinking they're going to go to Hotel A, which is located right in city center somewhere, very walkable, safe area. And when they get to the hotel, someone else had wanted to submit a booking and they paid full price. So that hotel now has the legal right
to
say to the guest, I can, you can certainly still stay with us, but not at this hotel. We're 100% booked, even though they had a confirmed reservation. So they can put them in a hotel that is 2 miles away to 30 miles away. And it can be from a 4-star hotel to a 1-star hotel. And you don't see any of this in front of you when you're on the internet. And that's why working with the vetted vendors, it's not only that the vendors themselves or the suppliers we use have visited all these sites regularly to make sure that the information that they have is accurate, but we are also very, very adamant about testing these vendors ourselves, whether they be tour operators, transfer companies, all-inclusive resorts, escorted tours, companies that either do it in the U.S. or overseas, where you have group tours by motor coach, even the small tours that we do with locals, which is something that we love to do because we like people to come home, as Tina said, with the memories of something they would never have experienced before. So book partnering those type of people with local tour guides is really a great option for them. And we use them ourselves.
I think a tip for your wonderful viewers is if you're going to book a hotel.
They're listeners. They can't see it.
Well, maybe they're looking at their phone.
And they're viewing something.
Maybe. Right? I mean, they're looking at the website here. One of the things, if you are going to be booking online, whether it's through a hotel's website, a resort's website, or consolidator, which, you know, would be a TripAdvisor, Bookit, hotels.com, is if you're going to do that, make your reservation, scroll down to the bottom of the screen, and click on Contact Me. Normally, there is a reservation email or a form to fill out. Put your information in and ask them to confirm your reservation, the room type, and any amenities that you were promised as part of that booking. And then when they respond, keep that so that if you have any issues, you've got confirmations to show to the manager.
Yeah,
hey, look,
right.
This is the person that validated this. So if you do do the walk, if they do walk you, and I'm not talking about like the dog, I'm talking about if they say, hey, we're overbooked, you can show that to the manager and say, hey, this is your employee that confirmed my reservation. If you're going to put me in another hotel, I want to go up a star and not down a star.
Yeah.
Very good.
Interesting. So that's really
ladies,
good factual
before we
information.
Go, I mean, sorry, before we continue, I like to give people an opportunity to call in and have a conversation with you. So if you are interested in being spoiled rotten at Spoil Me Rotten Travel by Tina or Barbara, you can actually call in. And the phone number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. And as I'm listening to you, ladies, it reminds me of the very first show Lori and I did, and the topic was, do you have transferable skills? And you all, the two of you have done an excellent job of transferring skills from two different industries and funneled it into one to make a great marriage, or should I say a sisterhood?
Well, maybe it's a sister marriage.
Your sister wife.
Sister wife.
I was thinking it's Sister of the Traveling Pants.
Oh, that was a good one too. Yeah, good movie. Liked it. Didn't love the second one as much.
So I have
good,
a question.
I won't watch it.
So Spoil Me Rotten, and I was going to ask you what makes you unique, and I think you answered that. But the question I would wonder, you know, especially looking at, I would assume there aren't as many brick and mortar travel agencies. What about business people? I mean, there are, you know, I work with a lot of CEOs of mid-sized to large companies, and those CEOs and other executives travel a lot. Sometimes salespeople travel a lot. And if you work for a large consulting firm, for sure, you're spending 50% of your month living out of a suitcase. So do you all do any of that, or that's just not your niche? You're dealing with family or people who want to have this sort of extraordinary experience, like personalized experience?
That's really a good question, right? How do we find our niche?
Well, I think what he's really asking is corporate part of our portfolio.
Right. And, do you do any corporate?
Yeah, and I think the answer to that is we don't do, if you need flights for your employees or your hotels for employees, because frankly there's no compensation in that for us. But what we is we do incentive trips. So if you want to do, for example, a trip for your top 50 salespeople, that is in our niche. That type of
group travel. Okay. This is a large company, Ted, that you were talking about. They have their own internal teams that do all of those bookings for their employees.
Okay, I can see that. And I know me working for a consulting firm, our clients would book the hotels and, you know, the airfare. We would do nothing. We'd just get the tickets. So I guess the same, they would have their own internal person do that.
And what we have learned, Ted and Lori, is that all travel advisors and their offices are handled a little differently. Some people only want to book Disney, so they tend to focus on the Disney, the Universal Studios, the water parks, and more family vacations. Others want to do romance travel and weddings, and we do some of that also.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole different type of group travel. Let's talk about emotion involved with weddings or baby moons. And type of very happy occasional travel where you want to travel with either a loved one or with many others and share a vow renewal or destination wedding.
I thought you were going to say share a bed.
No. Okay. I did not say that.
I was a little afraid of what was coming out of your mouth there.
And so we had to decide what type of travel we wanted to do. And so, Tina, you want to talk a little bit about what we specialize in?
So in the beginning, when we worked with Fred Flintstone and Wilma Flintstone, when we first started...
7 years ago almost,
September will be 7 years. When we first started, we kind of were take all comers. You know, we were hungry and we wanted to just get as much business as we can. And I think it's pretty evident that we don't do anything that we're not confident in our knowledge base. So it became apparent very soon that we were extremely ignorant when it comes to geography. And, you know, I thought everything was in Africa, but it required a significant amount of research. Everything we did, from finding the right vendor, okay, what vendors are out there, to what's the right destination, what are the activities, et cetera. It is extreme. It could be very, very overwhelming. So as we started, the business started growing, it became very apparent to us that we needed to reevaluate our business model and basically offer the services where we add the most value. So we basically have retooled the business model to primarily offer luxury-based travel, and that's, you know, luxury can be subjective, what luxury is. But for us, that means certain levels of service. Mm-hmm. You know, if you wanted that Carnival cruise, we're not going to go ahead and help you, because you basically can go online and do it yourself.
Again, there's no value.
There's no value at all. And so we do luxury. We do group. We, like Barbara said, we do romance, travel, and we each have some things that we absolutely love to do. I love to do the customized itineraries, and we get so deep into it that I swear I've been to China, but the closest I've gotten is the egg roll down the street. But that's how deep we get into what we're doing. Barbara, if you want to go to Alaska, she's your gal. She can get you the fishing guide for the type of fishing that you want to do. So she does a lot of Alaska, Hawaii. So we've kind of narrowed it down to type of travel as well. And that's how we developed the bag of tricks that we have, and stopped being a take all comers and kind of narrowed them down, because it wasn't fair to our clients if we had to stay on top of everything. And then COVID hit, and I mean, we are getting so good at canceling people's trips. It's just amazing. But trying to keep up with ever-changing environment for travel, if we would have been selling everything, that we'd have no hair left on our head, although we were in our 60s, so technically we're not losing our hair.
And with COVID especially, every vendor has their own policies and procedures about cancellation, future travel certificates, or future cruise credits, and being on top of all the different cruise lines that are out there, it would have been impossible. All the all-inclusive, it would have been just a nightmare to try and keep track of that. And so Tina,
another question, I guess that brings us to travel insurance, and is it worth it?
Oh, yes. In fact, this last year has just proven that more than ever before.
You know, Lori, life happens whether you're away or at home. And what we mean by that is, if you're going to get appendicitis and you happen to be in France, you're going to get appendicitis.
Right.
It's not going to go on vacation too. It's going to go with you on vacation.
Right.
So there's several components to travel insurance. And, you know, most people talk about ensuring the value of their trip. And that, frankly, to us, you know, that's important. Everyone has different risk tolerances, financial risk tolerances. So, you know, if they spend $10,000 on a trip, whether or not they're okay with losing that money, if they're unable to travel, that's a personal decision. But what's not a personal decision, and really is such an important part of travel insurance, is the coverage if you get sick or injured while you're out of the country, because your insurance most probably will not cover you while you're overseas. And so you are stuck with huge bills, and what the travel insurance companies do, and we're just talking about, we've got, Cruise Planet has custom policies with Allianz. So they've got $50,000, our policy gives you $50,000 of coverage if you get injured or ill while you're overseas. So what happens is you
That's
call
awesome.
The insurance company and you, they will vet the doctors. They will vet the hospital. They will arrange for financial payment if it's going to be a long duration to be made directly to the hospital and the doctors. So you don't have to lay out the money directly. We had a client that she made it to Jamaica, and she did too much of a happy dance.
She was there an hour.
Yeah, and she broke her
ankle in, I think, four places, and the bone in her calf. She was an hour into the trip. Allianz took care of everything. They took care of transferring
That's
her to the
amazing.
Hospital, the doctors, even to the point when she was ready to finally come back, which was almost a week later that she was in a hospital. She laid out no money. They worked with the hospital. They worked with the doctors. They validated that the doctors were acceptable and licensed because you're in a different country.
Right.
They even had someone fly home with her to accompany her back to her house.
And made sure that she went to get checked out
doctor.
By a U.S. doctor. And that's another part of the insurance, that you've got that concierge service that walks you through the medical side. But you also have emergency evacuation. If you need to be flown home and it's one of those life support type planes, they're super, super expensive. And so our policies have $1 million worth of coverage. Why is it so high? Well, maybe you have to be evacuated to the closest hospital, and then you get airlifted to a hospital close to you. That is Uber, and I don't mean the driving Uber. I mean the Uber expensive
right.
To do that. So for us, you ask about travel insurance, and that is so expensive. And then the trip part, you know, if you want to protect your investment, there's different ways you can do it. You can get a policy that will cover you if you need to cancel due to illness. And there's another policy if you want to just cancel
just because
you had a bad hair day.
The sky was too blue. My dog was lonely and I didn't want to leave him. It doesn't matter what the reason is.
Right.
My pinky hurt. And you also want to be careful as to whether you're going to get an actual refund of
mm-hmm.
some amount of money or if it's going to be a future travel certificate.
Yeah, which is why we do prime
right.
and because you want your money back. And with COVID, the Allianz policies that, and this is not a plug for Allianz, what this is the airlift.
It might be. And after this, I think we have a caller on the line. So go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, all I was just going to say is if you get an insurance policy, just make sure you know what the terms and conditions are. What are you covered for?
And what's excluded?
What's excluded? And are you getting a credit or are you getting money back?
Very
Excellent.
Important questions. So I think we have a caller, area code 248. I don't know if they're, you know, want to ask a question or if they want to listen. Caller 248.
That's me. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. This is,
who's calling?
My name is Sue Dumont, and I love the Travel Sisters. I'm calling from Michigan.
Oh,
awesome.
Thank you for calling.
I know the Travel Sisters way back from Long Island. Yes, you'll detect
my
New York accent as well. I went to school with Tina in seventh grade, and I recently used them for my trip to Italy. And I thought I'd call in and let your listeners, or viewers, as they said before, I wanted to say they are wonderful. And why they're wonderful, because I typically don't use travel agents, and I needed to plan a trip. And I was very overwhelmed because we like to do things on our own, as well as we wanted some tours, and we weren't shy about taking trains or buses, And honestly, when I called local travel agents, no one really wanted to work with us that way. They all had things planned out and more expensive than I wanted to pay. They really were not flexible. And Tina had a challenge, and I gave her that challenge. She accepted it, and it was wonderful. She really put it together in detail for me. And this is another thing they don't talk about, and they haven't explained. When you get your itinerary, it's not just a piece of paper that says day one to day whatever, seven. Day by day, you pull out a package, and in that package, in order of the tours that you're taking and the trains and any transportation, it's a package.
Wow. For
you. So when
That's
you're
awesome.
Taking a more detailed trip, which I did because we were running all over the place every single day, that made a huge difference for me. It was well organized, and all the hotels were incredible. Or the tours, which I didn't even know how to book some of these tours, were incredible tour guides. The whole trip was wonderful. It was my first experience, truthfully, with a travel agent. Won't be my last with the Travel Sisters. And I just wanted to say I love you both.
Thank you, Liz.
Oh, my
that
God.
Yeah, that, I'm like a little.
That is an awesome testimonial.
Thank you for doing that.
Great interview, guys.
Sounds
Thank
like
you.
It. Sounds like they spoiled you, Ron.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, oh, they did spoil me, Ron. That was good. Yes, they did.
Yeah, and that's the fun part of this business, too, is, you know, Sue and I were very close in high school, and we kept in touch, but through the travel, we've reconnected, you know, and so we'll pick up the phone and talk to each other or shoot a text. Or, so it's really, it was good for you, Sue. You got, I'm glad your trip was what you wanted. But for me, it was like the friendship came back, which was really cool.
Yes.
That's super nice.
Great story. Great share. Thanks
so
for sharing that.
So you actually care,
really.
Too. Yeah, thank you for calling in.
Thank you for taking my call. Bye, guys.
Bye, 248.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, that's an amazing testimonial.
That was really sweet. Yeah. We paid her, what, $1,000? We paid her nothing. She's just...
Oh, that's good. Okay.
So,
whatever.
Well,
and you have a sense of humor.
We're closing in on the end of the show, but you ladies want to share your favorite vacation place?
Oh. You know, that we get asked that quite often, and it's so hard because what we have found is every destination has its own personality. And so, like Tina said earlier, I can go to Alaska every year, and every year I'll have a different experience that will be more wonderful than the prior years. But there have been some places that I personally never really thought I'd be interested in. I'll share one of them, was when we went to Iceland. I really didn't think I would love Iceland. But I had the most fabulous time there, and we didn't even see half of what we would have liked to have seen. Yeah. It was like another world there. The people were nice, the culture, the food was very different, and it's almost like a moonscape when you're driving because everything is geothermally operated, and it was just a phenomenal experience. The Blue Lagoon. Going there and doing our silica masks. It was just fabulous. What do you like?
I think my favorite trip is the one that I'm on because every time we travel, it's a different experience. So, you know, we loved Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got to speak like this, the top of the Irish. But what we liked about Ireland was
surprising,
right? We did Dublin, which was unbelievable. There's so much history there. And, you know, of course, there's Guinness, which of course, is, and Jameson, which are delicious. So, you know, that was very, very cool. But when you go somewhere like that, you get to see it. You get to taste it. You get to hear the music from there. You get to smell the area.
Artwork.
And view the art. It's just, you use all your senses. So sometimes trips like that are really cool. And then we went up to, it's a diverse country, so we went up to Giant's Causeway, which has these, the plates broke up the ground, and it looks like, a giant just jumped up and down, and they have all these pieces of,
like rocks, and,
yeah, giant boulders, and so that was pretty cool. So you had the urban part, then you had the natural beauty of Ireland, because it is gorgeous. It does look exactly like it looks in the pictures. And then you go up to Belfast, and Belfast was typical. You can learn about history in the books, but when you go to Belfast and you see the conditions that they live in, how they're still basically separate but equal or not equal,
they're
surviving by being in different halves of the city, and there's a curfew at night, and the walls close, and they can't go from the Protestant to the Catholic side. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's a heaviness,
to see.
Right?
It makes it very real, and that's a current event. Then you go to a place like Spain, and you stand in Madrid, where Isabel talked to and gave permission to Christopher Columbus to discover the world. It was just astounding. And then we're Jewish, so to see where our people lived and walked and how things like the World War II impacted them and how the religion survived and how people still practice, and to eat the food there, which is the same food as I'm eating here in Texas that we ate in New York. So you've got the continuity of the culture. So I think for me, I really don't have a favorite place. It's where I'm at for that trip.
Right. Right. Like every, you know, it could be your favorite until the next trip.
Right.
It really
right.
is. And there's certain memories that come up that are really exciting that just touch us. Like when I went to Normandy.
Oh, God.
I mean, we had a tour guide. It was raining. It was cold. And we went to...
The wind was whipping.
I mean, it was really freezing. And our guide would not let us go back into the van because he said, if you want to really experience what our troops went through during the war, you need to stand out here. And it just brought history to life. And I was not a big history lover when I was in school, but I sure am now.
And when you stand there in Normandy and you go to the cemetery,
oh gosh,
you can look at a picture and it shows some crosses, or there's a Jewish section too, and you can see them, but that's nothing compared to standing there and just seeing just as far as you can see graves of people that were killed during this military initiative. And then you go into town, and I didn't even really think about this. I don't think Babs did either.
Babs?
Yeah, I'm calling you Babs now.
Okay.
Embrace it. we had lunch, and the people there are still so thankful for the Americans that came and liberated them. You know, you hear about Paris and how they don't like Americans. That's not true. Totally not true. So it's, you know, that was Normandy. That was really incredible.
And then we have places we absolutely love because of the joy they give us. Kuchenhof
Amsterdam.
Or Bouchard Gardens in
Victoria,
Canada. You just can't picture it.
Ladies, we're actually about to run out of time, and you all have been joyful, exciting, and inspiring,
fun.
I would say. And fun,
brilliant.
Absolutely. I'm so happy that you came on as our guest. So if someone wants to get a hold of you, how can they find you? What's your contact information?
So we're on Facebook, and we also have a webpage, and it's just Spoil Me Rotten Travel. So you can either do spoilmerottentravel.com, or you can go on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram, we're Spoil Me Rotten Travel. And on Facebook, our address is Spoil Me Rotten Travel, or you can do Cruise Planners, Tina Dinesman, and Barb Stellis. But I think the Spoil Me Rotten Travel will get you wherever you want to go.
And we can give them our phone number.
Perfect. Perfect.
Awesome.
Well,
thank you, guys.
Thank you for joining us.
Or ladies.
Yes, no, we really appreciate the invitation. Really, very, very much. Thank you so much.
And stop locking people in the bedroom.
Right.
All right, we'll work on it. Yeah, we'll work on it.
That's not
them
labor
out.
Laws.
All right.
That's not against labor laws. There are some other laws against that. But we won't. That's a different show.
Right.
Anyway.
Another interesting one. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next week, Thursday at 7 o'clock.
All right. Thank you so much
again.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
Have a good evening. Take care. Bye.
Bye.